lost in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome everyone to another edition of Spouting Off, yet another week. And you can find us here live Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, 1 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Mountain. And boy, we have a really interesting show today. It kind of came together spontaneously, actually. Sometimes out of crisis, if you get a slot that isn't filled in, you end up with something even greater than you expected. I don't do identity politics, and I don't do theme shows usually, but we have three, count them, three really stellar women on the program today, and they don't trade on being a woman. They just trade on being good. And I can't wait to welcome our very first guest, and she fits that bill perfectly. And she is a colleague, and I'm proud to call her a friend. She's one half of the talk show team of Chuck and Julie. Her name is Julie Hayden, longtime TV reporter in Colorado. And you can hear their shows Monday, Wednesday, and Friday live at chuckandjulie.com. Welcome, Julie Hayden, to Spouting Off.
Hey, Karen, thank you. What a nice intro. Thank you very much. My pleasure to be here.
Well, you just keep on a going. I'm telling you, you're like the Energizer Bunny. And I appreciate so much your graciousness in coming on the program at the last minute today. And it just created this three women kind of show, which I think is great. Four, if you count myself.
That's
so
right.
What is the overlooked story that you think our listeners, local or national, I don't care, is really you're talking about and you want people to pay attention to? It's a lot, but
yes.
What's one that you're thinking?
You know, but there's a Tucker Carlson thing, obviously, the January 6th, but somebody we had on our show Friday, and I had been unaware of this, a great author, Scott Powell. He's the author of Rediscovering America.
Oh, I love him.
Yes. And I wasn't aware that this was going on. So the Biden administration is on the verge of signing, they're not calling it a treaty, so they don't need Senate approval. They're calling it an accord, okay, with the United Nations that would say, in the event of another pandemic, and I use the word in quotes, the United States would basically hand over all control of this country to the World Health Organization. And the World Health Organization would be in charge of handling how America handles the next pandemic. And I think
wow.
we have seen, I mean, you know, first off, the World Health Organization is totally controlled by China. So we would essentially be handling control over who has to get vaccinated. Do we wear masks? Are businesses locked down? Is travel shut down? Is the economy shut down? Into the hands of our enemy, number one. And secondly, it's just look at what we are learning. I mean, they are admitting now that, okay, yeah, there was a lab leak. COVID came from that. The World Health Organization covered that up. I mean, they have been wrong on the pandemic every step of the way. So why on earth are we even contemplating signing an accord that would essentially say forever, anytime somebody wanted to declare a pandemic, the World Health Organization runs things in the United States. Fortunately, there is a bill that's being introduced in the Senate now by a group of Republicans, including, I'm proud to say, Lauren Boebert, not in the House, rather, from Colorado, that would say this is a treaty. This isn't an accord. What Biden is doing is if it's a treaty, then it has to be voted on by Congress, which makes sense, right? So if it's just an accord, then he doesn't have to. And so they're trying to force a vote on calling this a treaty, and so then Congress would be involved. But, you know, I was not aware of this until Scott Powell started talking about it. And, of course, you know, you're not going to see it in the mainstream corrupt media because they would like nothing more than to have, you know, communists control this country. So that's one of the things.
And what an easy way to do it. What an easy way to do it. With one swell foop, you're turning the entire country over to the people who actually released the biochemical weapon to begin with. How perfect.
Exactly.
What insult to injury.
It's not just, I mean, this goes right into the globalist, you know, scheme of things, because it's a United Nations Accord, right? So it's not just the United States. It would be all other nations in the United Nations that decided to sign this. So essentially, I mean, if you're Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum people pushing for the Great Reset, I mean, and you can declare a pandemic. First of all, I think one could argue whether this was actually a pandemic or not, right? I mean, the numbers of who had COVID and did you have COVID, did you was it with COVID, et cetera, everything about it is questionable, from, you know, the origin to how it was spread to really what was it to how many people did have it to, I mean, everything was basically a lie about the whole thing, right? And so, why we're contemplating saying, yeah, we'll turn the fate of the United States, you know, rather than having our people look at it. And certainly, I think we could say there are a lot of questions about how unelected bureaucrats handle things here. But even worse than that, then, would be handing it over to unelected bureaucrats in the World Health Organization, which is controlled by China.
You know what, Julie, I'll tell you. Some people ask me, and I think you get asked this question a lot, how did you know so early on with the COVID, that's what I call it, and not that it wasn't a real virus, it like, how did you know so early that something simply wasn't right? And part of the way I knew, and I want to get your thoughts, is that when you saw Democrats marching in lockstep or in goose step and sticking to a narrative regardless of the facts, it made sense to question what their motives were when they refused to acknowledge information that kept coming out. And furthermore, they were hostile to that information if it didn't fit the narrative, and even punished people who said, hey, wait a minute, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I agree with that. And I'll take it a step further. As you mentioned, I mean, I was a TV reporter in Denver, an investigative reporter for more than 30 years.
Good one, too.
Yeah. Thank you. And every year, the media loves stories like this, right? It's from the very beginning. Every year in Colorado, the media does, oh, no, West Nile virus outbreak. It's carried by mosquitoes. Or, you know, the prairie dogs carry certain plagues and things like that. And every year, everybody drops everything and screams and panics because that's what the media does. They create a crisis, and then you need to tune in so they can reassure you on how to handle the crisis and so you can keep tabs of it. So I understand how the media works. And I knew they were going to love this story from the get-go, right? And and then you had pictures of snakes and bats, and I mean, the whole thing. Those kind of stories are inevitably overhyped by the media anyway. So I was initially skeptical. And then exactly what you said, anytime you're not allowed to ask questions and the hostility that you were greeted with when you asked the question, right, being canceled and things like that, made me question it even more. I think that's just a good rule to live by, right? The instant someone tells you're going to be punished for asking a question, that's when you really need to ask a question.
Well, and that famous Shakespearean line, which I poorly paraphrase, methinketh he protesteth too much.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Well, as I said, then you started looking and you know, and it was hard to get any actual information. Frankly, it's kind of like the war in Ukraine, right? It's like, well, where
Very
are these
so.
Pictures coming from, actually? And truly, are people dead all over Italy? I mean, it just didn't add up. And then we started seeing, you know, for us, you know, we talked to our doctor because we got COVID before the vaccines were even available, and we had very mild cases of it, right? It was no worse than a cold. And granted, I know there are plenty of people, you know, up to and including death, who suffered far worse. So I'm not trying to suggest that. But it just seemed to me this pushing, you know, like in Colorado, it was like, okay, so like businesses and daycare centers had to be closed down, but pot stores and liquor stores could be open. And I was like, well, yeah, wait a minute. Do you know what I mean? It's like, if everyone's going to die, you know, if from going outside, why is it okay to be, you know what I mean? It's like, why can't I go to my preschool, but I can go to the liquor store? Why can't I go to church, but I can't go buy
marijuana?
You can't
go to a 12-step meeting, but you can go get yourself a bottle of booze.
Exactly.
And the hostility towards life itself was the one that really, really broke my heart. Mm-hmm. Almost immediately, we were told that if we did not wear a mask and stay home, we were killing grandma.
Yes.
And not long after that, we found out that Andrew Cuomo and other governors around the country actually were killing grandma.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and the only hope, so back to this, you know, accord with the World Health Organization.
Yes.
Hopefully, I mean, there's a reason I believe that you're not hearing about this in very many places, right? And because I think they know most Americans anymore, I believe, have been red-pilled. I think it'd be much harder to get people to fall for the kind of stuff we fell for the first time around. And I think that, you know, they just want to go ahead and do this quietly and give control over to the World Health Organization. And suddenly then if you question it, you're going to be a domestic terrorist. You know, there's just so many bad things that can happen from this. And I think that's why they're trying to keep it so quiet, because they know that too many Americans would wake up and say, hey, wait a minute, we're not going to do that again.
Well, but if they use bullies outside of America, like the WHO and others, as their proxy in doing their bidding, then they can say, oh, it's not us, it's them who are treating you like a plebe, like a peasant. And it's them who's saying that you can't. I mean, did you see the videos of people in Australia who were threatened with jail if they took a step outside their house? I mean, that could happen here and probably could, God forbid, would. We have a minute and a half. I didn't get a chance to ask you the perennial question, what keeps you going? But you could answer that real quick while you tell everybody how they can find you and hear your show with your husband, Chuck Bonnewell, on the Chuck and Julie Show.
That part's quick. That's a quick part. ChuckandJulie.com. You can catch the show live Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 3 to 4 Mountain Time. Or we have all of the shows around there, too. ChuckandJulie.com. You know what keeps me going is we have to. It's time to fight. And that's sort of, if I'm not going to, you know, it's time to get off the sidelines. It's time to fight and to stand up for our country. And what really keeps me going is I see more and more people joining that effort. And I think people get it. We just have to make sure they have the information.
The first of three great ladies today on Spouting Off. Thank you, Julie Hayden, for coming on. Always appreciate talking to you. Take care.
My pleasure, Karen.
Bye-bye. Well, we're going to take a quick break and we'll have the next guest. Oh boy, what a pistol. We'll be back with her right after this. Don't go away.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life. The bills, the job, the family. Things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
The Reading Foundation provides evaluation and tutorial programs based upon the Orton-Gillingham philosophy of learning, based upon the study of language, how children acquire language, and the mechanisms involved in learning. All the learning pathways of the brain, visual, auditory, kinesthetic, and tactile, are addressed and strengthened to build a strong foundation for the acquisition of reading skills. If you are interested in learning more, please contact the Reading Foundation for more information. The Reading Foundation is at 10 Northern Boulevard, Unit 19, Amherst, New Hampshire, 03031. Or you can email us at readingfoundation_rf@yahoo.com. And of course, you can call anytime at 603-882-0992. The Reading Foundation, Amherst, New Hampshire.
Karen Cataline puts the Judeo in Judeo-Christian. Now back to Spouting Off.
Back, everyone, to Spouting Off. I'm your happy host, Karen Cataline, and we've got an all-woman show today, but we don't trade on being a woman. It just turned out that way. We're not into identity politics here, where everything is what group you belong to. It just kind of turned out this way. And let me double check and make sure that we have Michelle on hold. Yes, indeed, we do. You may have heard her on our program and others. What a fireball this next woman is. She's founder and host of Everything Home Talk Radio Show, but she also happens to have been an election judge in the Maricopa County elections of midterms. And she's got a lot to say. And guess what? We don't all have to agree. And she gets to be heard on this program and hopefully in America. Her name is Michelle Swinnick. Welcome, Michelle, back to Spouting Off.
Oh, Karen, Cataline, that great last name. We know we have to stop meeting under these the circumstances of Arizona constantly being in the news. Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. Really. We're not that cool.
Well, something's going on. You're kind of like a firebrand here. A lot's going on with Carrie Lake and her fight to expose election, shall we call, irregularities. Why don't you give us the latest, update us, for those who haven't been following as closely as you do, what's been going on in Arizona and Maricopa County?
Well, I love to call it Maricorruption County, and I've been saying that for 2 years, and complete vindication came to that, not only during the November 8th election, which was the most fraudulent election we've ever had in the country, especially, and we're the highlight again, we're getting showcased all over the place, but it was even further confirmed that when we had a joint session, it was a joint meeting between the Senate and the House on the Elections Committee, that was on February 23rd, there was pretty much an explosive testimony given by Jacqueline Brager, who is the principal investigator for the Harris Thayer Law Corporation. And they've been doing an investigation for 3.5 years, which originally started outside of Arizona, dealing with white collar fraudulent claims and insurance fraud and mortgage fraud from large companies that had hired them. And then Then they got into Arizona by just doing the paper trail, because that's just what you do. And then all of a sudden it led to all of this fraud, this corruption, this racketeering, this bribery, money laundering, and then it tapped into the election fraud. And it was here in Arizona. So that's how they ended up coming, or Jacqueline came to testify. But what it actually is, it's literally unbelievable when you listen to the testimony that she gave. And it is basically, so people understand, it is a $7.5 billion racketeering, bribery, corruption, money laundering, and election scheme orchestrated by the Sinaloa Mexican cartel, the Mormon Church, involving Arizona politicians.
Oh, no, the Mormon Church? Wow.
Oh, yeah. The Mormon Church, the Arizona politicians, appointed officials, judges, police officers, attorneys, the city of Mesa, Runbeck, who does our elections and all elections all across the country, nonprofits, churches, PACs, LLCs, just to get started. It's also in 20 states, and they found that this all started back in, at least what they found, 2010, and it, the total amount has exceeded about $25 billion. With documents to support it, and names, and the list is long, and that's only one of the lists of names that, has been released. There's a lot more. It is, Arizona is a crime scene. It is a disaster. And the thing that, whether what I want people to understand is the behavior of the legislatures here in Arizona tells you everything. Because of the fact that they want this to go away. They don't want to address it. They don't want to do their job, which is to investigate. That's actually the role of a committee. And the they have the plenary authority and the subpoena power to subpoena people. So that's what you have a committee for. And this was the elections committee that was having this joint session between the House and the Senate. And the chairman is Wendy Rogers. You've probably heard about her. She's, you know, queen of talking about election integrity, raised $3.2 million for her campaign, but yet has done nothing for election integrity. And she also has the opportunity to now investigate these election fraud claims and proof. Meanwhile, there was four other speakers, and I'm sure most of the people know their names, Eric Specklin, Ivan Raiklin, Seth Keschel, and Colonel John Mills. So she's not investigating. She said she wasn't going to. She said she didn't have the ability to do so, which is a lie. And she said that was not the place to bring this information forward, but yet it's the people's house, and that's where we're supposed to express our grievances. Jacqueline is also a citizen of Arizona. So the attacks on Liz Harris, who invited them to come speak at the meeting, has just been unbelievable. They have thrown her under the bus. They have threatened. If she did not apologize to Ben Thoma, so you have to bow down to the Speaker of the House, because Ben Thoma's name is all over all of this fraud and documentation and racketeering and money laundering. And so, his family is all over the documentation.
Forgive me for interrupting here, but I pulled up this article, and I want to save time for this because, I'll say that in just a minute. Here's a headline from an article that I had in my stack of stuff. Homage to Rush Limbaugh. Allegations made to AZ Senate committee claiming Governor Katie Hobbs and other officials took bribes from the Sinaloa drug cartel. Could you comment on that?
Well, that's what this whole operation is. And when they name names, it is Katie Hobbs, Adrian Fontes, Kristen Sinema, Ruben Gallego, Ben Thoma, three of the five board of supervisors. So this is all part of the infrastructure of how they utilize different streams of money laundering in order to get money to politicians, and the long list of things I said in the beginning, for so that they actually obey what the cartels and the Mormon Church want them to do, which is keep the borders wide open. Allow the fentanyl and rig elections.
Kristen Sinema, at least from a conservative point of view, has seemed to show some independence of spirit in Congress. How do you explain that?
They're all frauds. I mean, it's all a show. It's all a show for the cameras, and it's all a show for the donations to stay in office. They play both sides of the fence, talk out of both sides of their mouths. None of these people have any integrity, and they're following orders from whoever is pulling their strings, whether it is the cartels or it is the big PACs or it is other people that run the whole country, because it's not your legislators and it's not the executive branch. So they'll say what they need to say, what they're told to say. None of these people think for themselves because they stand on nothing. And then when you stand on nothing, you fall for everything. And I'm seeing it happen right here in Arizona. Not one person on the Republican side, not one candidate, not one fake grassroots group, nobody has come forward except for a couple of the legislative districts here, District 12, 23, and 13, that have stood up, demanded an investigation into what's going on. But from all the speakers, mm-hmm. keep in mind, there was five speakers, and also to support Liz Harris and actually say lay off her, because they said if you do not apologize to Ben Thoma, apparently he walks on water, he's the new Jesus down there, but it's the pits of hell is what our capital is. So it would make sense that he's actually the lead demon that runs down there. And they said, if you do not apologize to him verbally and in writing, we're going to either remove you from a committee or expel you from office. So they're trying to get rid of her. So yesterday they pulled another little thing, and they acted like it was the Democrats trying to motion to censure her. But really, the Republicans were in on it together. So now both sides are against Liz Harris, because she's the only one that actually campaigned on election fraud prevention and to clean up what's going on in Arizona. And she's the only one that did it, because she's the only one that really meant it. And she's the only one that has integrity and does what she say, promises kept. Yeah.
What do you say to people in and out of Arizona, but especially many of our listeners are in New Hampshire and all over the country, who get overwhelmed and really have a feeling of demoralization and just, you know, downright depression? It's overwhelming and it's discouraging to watch and hear all of this, and yet nothing ever seems to come of it. There's never any accountability, and people are getting worn out, tired. You have an amazing amount of relentless optimism and gutsy spirit. What do you tell those people?
Well, what I want them to realize is the scenario that we're talking about here in Arizona is how the entire country runs. And then when you actually look at it that way, and you accept that is reality, everything that's gone wrong makes all the sense in the world, or why things aren't happening, or why there is no accountability, because they're all on the same side. And it's literally all fraud and corruption, the whole country, the whole infrastructure. So
yeah, what do you do about it? It's so overwhelming. Well, like I said,
take the overwhelming part out and just accept that as fact. Now, what are we going to do about it? The problem is we, as the American people, we the people, have never really pushed hard enough to keep our elected officials, which are selected and elected elitists, I call them, accountable. Like, we're good for a day or two because something trends on Twitter. Like that weekend after, Cartel Katie and Arrest Katie Hobbs trended for two full days, and then that was it. See, the problem is we don't put enough pressure on them. We don't show up, because look what they did to us January 6th. They scared everybody, arrested everybody. And then, oh, my God, yesterday, what happens? All of a sudden, this other footage comes out, and it's yet we've been talking about for 2 years. That was all staged. It was all fraud. See, it's fraud. They show you what they want you to see so they can set the narrative, so they can indoctrinate, they can brainwash, they can put fear into you, COVID-19. The political propaganda pandemic, so they can control what you do and what you don't do, because they knew that if you started to find out all these things on how the country really operates, like you are now understanding in Arizona, you're not going to like it and you're going to want to push back. So they knew this would eventually start to come out. So they set the stage 2 years ago to keep you inside. They don't want you to show up. But you know what? Now we know, and I hope the people are watching, just even Tucker last night when they're talking about what really happened on January 6th, which was nothing like they proclaimed as an insurrection with no weapons. Okay. So now is the time.
Yeah, it was an armed insurrection, except the so-called insurrectionists had no weapons.
Right.
They didn't have weapons. They didn't go there with weapons. They didn't have any.
No. So it was a lie. It was a narrative so that we didn't stand up, because we're supposed to express our grievances and keep our elected and selected elitists accountable. And we don't do that. And they know that. So they just kept pushing the line and pushing the line and pushing the line. And now you're living literally under a tyrannical government that is lawlessness when it comes to enforcing what the law is, because just look at it, or look what they've revealed in Arizona. And then, of course, in every state, when you're trying to apply the law, the Constitution, there is no Constitution anymore. They love case law because it's somebody's opinion away from the Constitution. So my advice to everybody is just put it in your head. That's the world you live in. Now, what are you going to do about it? You need to keep these people accountable. And we're going to end up going to have to go express our grievances at the capitals again, which is fine, because we're not there to do violence. And now everybody knows that January 6th was a setup and a sham and a controlled narrative. So what we're doing, again, we did this once before with Ban the Machines. We did it again with Do Not Certify Arizona. So we're launching another one-click email campaign, and we're asking for people all over the country to help, because we just need to get this investigation done here in Arizona, at least get it in motion. And I know that people are like, well, then who's going to be in charge of it? Just one step at a time. This is one step at a time. The reason why it's so important that we demand an investigation when it's something that should be done, it should have been the number one thing that they said that afternoon, instead of Wendy Rogers doing nothing and then lying and telling you she didn't have the ability to do anything. An investigation should have been done immediately. They didn't even ask questions after the end of the testimony. They just all looked around like, and they've not contacted the attorneys. They have not even contacted the attorneys to say, I demand you show me what information you have. And if you don't give it to me right now, I am going to go ahead and sue you like you've never been sued before. That has not happened. Their behavior tells you everything, that they know it's true, and a lot of them are a part of it, and they want it to go away. So they're throwing Liz under the bus, and they want to this week. She thinks that they're going to actually to expel her from office. So instead of so when they go after the messenger, and Liz didn't disclose this information, she just invited them to speak because they were going to reveal some information and provide information about election fraud in Arizona. So that was the purpose. She didn't know what they were going to come up with, which usually don't when someone is going to give you information. You know, they give you kind of like little notes about things, but they don't give you their speeches.
We
got to
wrap it up. I'm sorry. No, tell everybody how they can find you.
Well, what I'm doing is I'm putting together all this documentation, the interviews, the videos, and what's been going on in Arizona, because I want everybody to understand it, because there's people out there that are saying, or they're trying to discredit the attorney, Thaler and Brager. And that's not, I could care less what they've done in a past life. It's not about them. And it's not about whether or not this information is true, which it is true. I can guarantee you that. It's the fact that
I gotta run.
SaveMyFreedom.us. SaveMyFreedom.us. All right. And all the information is there.
Michelle
Swinnick. I'm sorry, Karen.
That's energy. That's gutsiness right there. Thank you so much, Michelle Swinnick, for joining us and having your say. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read the difference on all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
Are you tired of the same old snacks? Looking for something a little healthier than that bag of chips or candy bar? Even your average bag of trail mix these days is little more than peanuts, raisins, and candy-coated chocolate. Not very healthy, is it? Allow me to introduce you to White Mountain Munchies. Made from 100% all-natural ingredients, White Mountain Munchies combines unique flavors with nutritional value that will tingle your taste buds and strengthen and sustain your overall health and wellness. Eating good never tasted so good. From Maggie's Maple Madness to Hannah's Heavenly Harvest, Grayson's Getaway Goodies, and our limited edition Christmas blend, Jacoby's Jolly Jumble, White Mountain Munchies offers nutritious and delicious snacks that the whole family is sure to love. Pick yours up now through our easy-to-use online store at whitemountainmunchies.com. White Mountain Munchies, non-GMO when you're on the go.
Outdoor Almanac, brought to you by New Hampshire Fish and Game's Wildlife Journal.
Last summer, I was in a boat on First Connecticut Lake in Pittsburgh, cruising the shoreline when I saw a small red fox on shore. It saw me and immediately laid down and watched me. As I moved away, it then sat up like a dog. Through binoculars, I could then see it sniff the ground and amble away. Foxes, branded by Aesop's Fables and Little Red Riding Hood as bold, cunning, and deceitful, when in fact they're shy, nervous, and very intelligent. They belong to the same family as domestic dogs, coyotes, and gray wolves. While red foxes eat small mammals and plants, they've also been known to eat lake trout, which they catch by leaping from shore onto fish schooling in shallow water. Maybe that's what my fox was trying to do, because they hunt mostly towards sunset, overnight, and in the early morning. So while the swift brown fox may have jumped over the lazy dog, it's a shame the fox couldn't escape the fiction of its storybook past.
Outdoor Almanac is brought to you by New Hampshire Fish and Game's Wildlife Journal, the magazine for people with outside interests.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
Hi, it's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police in the Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today, when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
Karen Cataline got her parents to name her Karen before she was born, so she could grow up to be a punchline. Now here's more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Spouting Off. Great to have you along with us. I'm Karen Cataline, as you've heard. And this show has turned out to be a very interesting theme of sorts that all three of our guests are women who don't trade on being a woman. They trade on just simply being good, gutsy, outspoken, relentlessly optimistic, and, you know, all around effective. I only wonder why the radical left doesn't celebrate any of these women. And our next guest is no exception. You've heard her before. She is a Right America Media host who's slightly on sabbatical right now, but her name is Joey Lynn Massaros, who experienced her own persecution simply for protesting the Biden-Harris campaign bus in 2020. And we're here to get an update and a little more words of wisdom from Joey Lynn Massaros. Welcome once again to Spouting Off.
Hi, Karen. I'm so excited to be here. What a beautiful introduction. Thank you for the kind and encouraging words.
Thank you. Before we go back to your story, well, actually, let's get an update as to where things are. And then I want to move to what keeps you going, because a lot of people now get what's going on in this country, but it can be, as I said to our last guest, so overwhelming and so many details that a lot of people just kind of check out. So first tell us, give us an update of what's been happening in your world and this case that just seems not to go away, and then we'll move on from there.
Well, Karen, we've been in this about 2.5 years. You know, it was in 2020 that we peacefully protested. We found out 8 months later we were getting sued, and our court date is set for December 11th, 2023, over 3.5 years later at that point, or over 3 years later at that point. And to no avail, we have tried over and over to get this lawsuit dismissed at every opportunity we have to file a new motion to dismiss it. We do that because it's frivolous in nature, it's abusive, and they haven't even met the basic requirements of using the Ku Klux Klan law against our family. As we've discussed previously, we're getting sued in federal court for flying Trump flags next to the Biden bus because the occupants of the bus, which include White House officials and Democrat politicians, are claiming that we banded together with the intent of suppressing blacks and minorities from voting. And while no crimes were committed, they are claiming they have PTSD and want financial compensation while they campaign on fighting voter intimidation, which they're feigning to do. That was not the case. We were merely exercising free speech. So we've tried to get this lawsuit dismissed. And we have an Obama-appointed judge who has denied our motion to dismiss and ruled we'd go to trial on the very last day of the 2-year statute of limitations. The plaintiffs added several more defendants to the lawsuit. So after, I'm sure these individuals thought for after 2 years they were in the clear, and then they were added to this lawsuit as well. It's very, very abusive. It is bankrupting the families that are involved as they we're all stacked against the odds, up against a massive, you know, government entity with unlimited resources, multiple nonprofits funding this lawsuit, multiple attorneys, over 20, and we're all just individual families trying to defend ourselves. So it's not going great.
Yeah. It's not going great. Could you tell everybody what, if you know, if you can, because it could be too complicated, but what, who are the actual complainants of record in this case?
Yes. So we have Wendy Davis. She is a former state legislator here in Texas. She ran for governor of Texas and lost to Greg Abbott. At the time she was on the bus, she was running for Congress. So she basically sued her own potential constituents had she won for disagreeing with her, which to me is the definition of tyranny. We've also got David Jens, who works in the White House, Dr. Eric Savini, who's a liberal author and influencer who wrote the Deviance War, The Homosexual Against America, and the bus driver, Tim Holloway. Those
what?
Are the plaintiffs.
The Homosexual Against America?
Yes.
What? That doesn't even sound logical from a leftist perspective, let alone a right wing or a conservative perspective. But anyway, and who'd you say after the doctor?
The bus driver, Tim Holloway.
Bus
but
driver.
You're right. They're always playing the victim and always looking for a fight.
Wow. Okay. So where does this stand now? You're waiting around. They extended it and drew it out as long as they possibly could. So you, I guess you're living under a shadow here of whatever's going on, and December's a long way away. How are you holding up? And that's going to be the other question. What keeps you going? And what would you say should keep other people going who are not experiencing this kind of political persecution? The left seems to believe that they have a right to protest anybody they want, to fly any kind of flag they want, even on government buildings. But I guess you don't have that right.
Right. Well said. It's exhausting. You mentioned at the earlier part of our segment just how it feels so overwhelming with everything that's going on in our country and just not really knowing how to. We don't have the power each ourselves to fix it, but we have the power to hope, to have faith and to believe. we also have the power to join together and support one another. And I feel like if I do not start my day planted firmly in my faith in the Lord, reading scripture, praying, and getting my optimistic outlook set in stone for the day, then the day is just going to be daunting and overwhelming, and it's going to feel really doom and gloom just with everything going on when you turn on the news, what's happening to our family personally, what we see happening to other families. You know, and so I just feel like the Bible is full of stories of redemption. There's countless stories in the Old Testament, which I always used to think was boring and outdated. And now that I read it, it just feels so applicable to what's happening in America. But where we see fallen people, broken nations, and the Lord just completely redeems it. But the responsibility is on the people to come together and to to address what's broken and to return to their Lord. And so I just feel that I have to be rooted in prayer, and I have to keep an optimistic mindset. I take every thought captive and make it obedient to the Lord, which is biblical direction. And I push out the negative thoughts and focus on the positive. Not to say I don't acknowledge what's happening. It's very important to be aware of what's going on, to be awake and alert. But dwelling on it is not productive. We have to think of ways that we can push back, defend our freedoms, and wake other people up to joining the fight with us as well.
I'll tell you, Joey Lynn Maceros, it's funny, you didn't hear the other two guests today, but it turned out, it kind of shaked out that we had an all-woman show today, made up of gutsy, outspoken women who don't trade on being a woman. They just happen to be women. And let me, and it's so great because you have relentless energy and fortitude in standing on principle and knowing what's right and what's wrong. I wanted to mention, you know, I try to look for optimistic things, and sometimes it's a little hard, but your story doesn't sound all that different, although you're not, thank God, in a solitary confinement, to the story that is now coming out via Tucker Carlson and others on January 6th. Most of us knew. Most of us knew it was nothing like what the media portrayed because we were watching on our televisions. We were being told, you know, don't believe your lying eyes. And yet we knew that this was not, they just hyped it into oblivion. And then they conducted a show trial all summer. And now suddenly the evidence is coming out that most people already knew. Do you feel like that you can relate to that story? And what do you think about what's going on? Are you encouraged?
Yeah, we do relate deeply. I feel like it was a mass coordinated effort across our nation to develop different arenas where the legal system was involved in persecuting individuals under their First Amendment right and finding the legal loopholes to do that. I feel like everybody was baited, everybody was trapped, and it's definitely for media headlines. And what we see time and time again is that the progressive left, in tandem with the media, uses fear and aggression to manipulate people into handing over their freedoms and championing the attack on taking people's freedoms away under the guise of making it a better place, a safer nation, so on and so forth. And we saw that happen with January 6th. We see that happening with us. We're blessed, like you said, not to be facing any criminal charges. This is merely a civil lawsuit. I feel like if they could have gotten us on anything criminal, they certainly would have. There's just really no case here. And so they're using civil court to bankrupt us and make an example out of us while painting the headlines to appear as if it were a criminal nature. We've been portrayed as Ku Klux Klan, white supremacists, domestic terrorists. To quote The View, Whoopi Goldberg and Sonny on The View, we're emboldened racist bigots crawling out from under our rocks. The narrative was that we tried to run the Biden bus off the road. We were suppressing Black people from voting, you know, and so they definitely paint the picture in a way that makes people champion their efforts to take away our freedoms, which therefore it takes away their freedoms in the future, and they don't even see it happening. So I'm very encouraged to see the truth coming out about January 6th, and I pray, hope, and believe that the truth will come out about our lawsuit as well. Problem is, we haven't really even gotten our story out there. It should be a national news story, and it hasn't been covered really at all. So we're so grateful that, you know, you have covered this, and your viewers can learn about that on your channel. But it's very difficult to get the story out and the truth out when we can't get on national news platforms. And the judge has authorized a gag order to gag us from discussing details of this lawsuit as we move on to trial, like any information regarding cell phone, email correspondence that the plaintiffs would turn over that would prove that they're lying.
Well, Joey Lynn, even if what you were saying wasn't true, we have a treasured tradition in this country to hear all sides of an issue, to give mm-hmm. people a platform so that the listener can decide. What you're pointing out is the fact that we are being told what to think, what to believe, what the facts were. The minute a case happens, we're already told who's guilty, who's innocent, right. what the motive was, and who you're supposed to hate and point the finger at. This right. is not America in any way. And even if you were saying something that wasn't true, you get to say it and allow people to decide for themselves based on the facts.
Right.
So we've only got a couple minutes. Are you back doing your show now, or are you still on hiatus? What's going on?
I am on hiatus right now. What I'm really focusing on is trying to raise awareness for this battle that we're in. And it takes so much time and energy. Our fundraising efforts have nearly plateaued. We did really well for the first 2 years. And then over the last few months, there's been very little movement. And so I've been dedicating most of my time to trying to get back out there and encouraging people to contribute to our fight, to equip us on the front lines so that we can properly defend free speech at the federal level. It takes so much money at high court levels to fight this fight. We've spent over $100,000. We cashed out our 401k and we started fundraising. We fundraised about $194,000 towards our first goal of $200,000, which is phenomenal considering the economy. But the reality is that we'll need about $600,000 to take this all the way and to see a win for free speech, right? So we have been prioritizing pushing our website, freespeechdefender.com, and asking the American people for help, whether that's financial in small amounts, large amounts, if that's prayer, or if that's sharing our story with somebody that maybe hasn't heard it and would be interested in helping raise awareness or contributing to our fight. That's freespeechdefender.com and where most of my time is going right now. But I do hope to start my show back up here in a couple of weeks, months. I'm not sure. We're working that out with Juan.
Okay. Well, you know, the other thing is people need to get you on Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson seems, I don't even have Fox News anymore, believe it or not. But you need to get on Fox News so he can pick up this story. We have to run. Joey Lynn Massaros, thank you so much. Say the website again real quick.
It's freespeechdefender.com. And Tucker is our next goal. Karen, thanks so much for having us on.
Okay. My pleasure. Thank you very much. Well, that does it for this special edition of Spouting Off with several strong, outspoken women. Where is the left in supporting strong, outspoken women who disagree and want to exercise their rights to free expression? Tune in on Thursday and Friday this week, as well as Tuesday, when we'll have so much more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.